to serve as a shaliach. I mean, he had all sorts of secret messages, to be able to. That's not really what we did. We delivered the Yeshirim. I did the Shir of Dada, the Shir of Malach, and then we gave the Marashir. They particularly wanted to run a celebration. They had the Shir. It was a very interesting experience. But anyway, when we got there, we talked to one person who turned out to be the chief in that area, and I take it for him. We didn't talk to masses of people, we just talked to one case, I gave two cases, I gave them a very large share on this subject. Joe's been waiting. So, when a guy comes from, this is like 7-8 years ago, I've been out of Russia, I've heard about that. I heard a shame you from my brother in Russia. I mean, that people are really, so you never know who you're talking to when you're talking to me. Okay, guys. Anyway, as an introduction to this year, this is, if you thought that what you heard until now was in any way provocative, you ain't heard nothing yet. This subject is a very fascinating area. This question of women in the union. If someone were to ask me, is there a possibility to change something very fundamental in halacha, I think this might be it. But you have to understand how and why it might be, and what's changed, and what are things that could change, if at all, and the different shittos. You have to do a lot of fundamental study work in this particular area. This is the type of article that my wife said, write only after all the girls are married. So this is and there are other people who have already written similar, one was written by Rabbi Herzl Henkin, but you have to read the article right, just after. You have to know the sukkah, you have to go right now. After we plow through this for a while, you'll understand the subject, and you'll understand all the coverts, and you'll understand what are the fundamental issues here, and where there might be leeway, and what the future might hold. So it's very, very fascinating. The subject is women give you aliyot. Why yes, why not? There's a great deal to discuss here. And it's an offshoot of the general question of women learning Torah. But instead of learning Torah in private, this is learning Torah publicly as a community. We're going to begin our discussion with Limud HaTorah, with the general Torah, Kriyat HaTorah. We're going to get a little bit into Kriyat HaTorah, not too much, but enough to understand what the Takana was all about and what are its purposes. The paradigm for Kriyat HaTorah appears in Chumash Dvarim and deals with what's called Parshat Hakel. And the makes this part. Ve'etzav Moshe otam le'mor. God commanded the men of Israel, Miket Sheva Shani, at the end of 7 years, the Moed Shnat HaShmita, at the beginning of the, at the end of the 7 years of the Shmita year, but in Chagas Sukkot. Now, you have to understand, there are two possibilities of interpretation. One possibility is the beginning of the Shmita year, because Shmita starts in Elul, so it could be at the beginning of the Shmita year. Or it could be Motza'ei Shmita, just after Shmita is over, the beginning of the next cycle. The way the Chazal understands the pasuk says, "Miketz sheva shani, b'shnat hashmita." So it means at the end of the way Chazal understands is the end of the 7 years in motzei shmita. At the just the shmita is gone out. Pasuk Yudal. The vocal Yisrael l'rot et nei Hashem elokecha when all the Bnei Yisrael comes, the makom asherka which God has chosen, the Beit Hamikdash. Tikra et ha Torah hazot neged kol Yisrael. Read this Torah scroll to all Klal Yisrael ba'aznayim in their ears. Read it to them carefully. They should hear. Hakel et ha'am, gather up the people. Ha'anashim, V'hanashim, v'hatah, gather everyone to hear this public reading of the Torah. Men, women, children, the gerchashim and the converts, leman yishmu uleman yilmedu v'yiru et Hashem l'techem. So they should hear the Torah, and they should learn the Torah, and fear God. V'shamru lasot et kol divrei Torah hazot. They should fulfill all this Torah. Now notice what the Torah is telling us. If this has a multi-level purpose, one is not to learn what you're going to learn. Second one is sort of create this sort of mass educational experience of which Torah is at the center. It talks about the importance and the fear of God. Sort of this mass experience of B'nai Yisrael sitting there together. I don't know if any of you have ever heard about it, some movies about it, or even their craft. At the Sion HaShas, there was a Madison Square Garden. Or there was in the era, they had, that was just an incredible Kiddush Hashem, but people all sit down and talk. It really moves one. We were there, they had Zecher LaHakel, where they had the Shmita year, at the end of the Shmita year, the Moetzat, the Rebbe of Yerushalayim, organized a remembrance of HaKel. And the last one that I was at, I think it was like 14 years ago, even more than that, kids and went, and I was just, we stood on the stairs looking back, because you couldn't get even close to the culture. So we happened, we had very nice bird's eye view of the stairs looking down on the culture, which was really, if I had to pick a spot, that's the place. You know, right now they have the guards, and they check your bags, you're going down the stairs from the Europa. We did, just before the stairs, we stand there looking down the whole plaza, just wall to wall people, you can see the Torah sort of flow was moving, it was really tremendous. Tremendous, very, very moving. And it inspires you with the Lima de Torah. Sometimes I would turn on the TV and I would watch, watch these kind of the picture of the Muslims, just all bowing down to the other same time. That's a tremendous gift. Sure, you watch, the Mecca and you see these thousands, hundreds of thousands, they walk and walk. That's really quite impressive. Okay. There's something about numbers. We like to intellectualize that, if it's true, it makes a difference of 100 of it. It makes a difference. There's something about a mass experience, about davening with tzibur, that's very different than the feel of the yachid situation. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Uvenayim asher lo yadu. And their children wanted Sinai. Because remember, he's talking to the second generation here. So those children who weren't at Sinai didn't know. Yishmu v'lamdu v'yira. Again, he says the same idea. He's saying, same keyword. You hear and you learn and you'll fear. Et Hashem Elokechem kol hayamim, all the days. Asher etem chayim al adama, on the land. Asher etem ofrim et yadin sham v'shtem, which you will cross the Jordan to dwell there. That's the pasuk. And this, again, we have here biblically a public Torah reading, selections turn in some exactly what to read. It says to read from Sefer Devarim. And it's done once every 7 years. Biblical Torah reading selections. All right, now let's read the Sefer Achinuch, who writes about the purpose of the mitzvah. Mitzvah Hakel B'motzei Shvi, that's the name of this mitzvah. Shenetztavenu Shiyetahel, Yitahel Am Yisrael Kulo, that all Klaus should gather, Anashim, the Nashim, the Tah, the Motzei Shnat, everybody, men, women, children, on the end and the eve of the Shemitah, even after the Shemitah, the Chag and Sukkot, and the Chag and Sukkot, but not on the Sukkot day proper, not on the Yom Tov Rishon, but B'Yom HaSheni, the first day of Chol HaMoed, the Chag and Sukkot, for the Klaus Tzak, we say for Mishnah, some from Devarim, which is published in the Torah, Buzz name in their ears, Shehu Eved Devarim, which is the fifth book here in the Bible. Mishav Hashem HaMitzvah, the purpose of the mitzvah, the reason for the mitzvah, the Fishat Kobi Karan Shav Am Yisrael Yetor, because after all, this uniqueness, the centrality, the focus of Jewish attention and identity is the Torah. Al Kein B'yot Kilopi Kobi Karan Makit, because it's the center of their experience. It's proper that all should get together, this man, one time. and more to say. And what will people say? Ma kibbutz harav hazeh shenitkabatznu yachad kulam? Why are we all gathering together? The answer will be lishmoa divrei Torah, to listen to the words of Torah. Shehi kol ikareinu v'odeinu v'kabadeinu, because the Torah is the our essence, our glory, and our crowning. The avo mitoch kach, and because of this, everybody's talking about Torah. The saper, the gadol shekaver, to say its praise, vode avka, and all its value, v'yachniso kol bivav kasher. Everybody wants desire to learn Torah. It's special. The imacheshikba, because the people yearn it. Yimbedu ladat et Hashem, to learn to search after God. The yisku, the tovah, the yisunach, Hashem v'masav. And God will be pleased with the people's actions. The chinyan, the masav in his creation, and God will be pleased with that which he has created. Uchinyan shekatu, the ferush, bazot, and mitzvah, as it's written in the Torah itself. Learn and fear God. Okay. About this idea of talking up God, you know, Lubavitch does it all the time. It's a purpose. It's the same sort of idea. You talk about God, and you give enough public relations, you'll know what you find out about. By the way, this is an idea that inspired people to learn, right? We're so busy indoctrinating our kids that we don't get a chance to get this back. Midine ha-mitzvah, ma shavru zechonam lebracha, shamelechu ha-mechuyav lekob hazneim. As far as the pratim of mitzvah, Chazal said that the one who should read the Torah is the melech. Uvezrat nashim ha-yat, or he used to read in the Beit HaMikdash proper, because it says, ba-makom ha-sheivchat. So within the Beit HaMikdash, the more area of the Beit HaMikdash, the more popular area, the big hall, which was called the Ezrat Nashim, we already saw the Beit HaMikdash away, but that's where the masses could go. It required a little less level of sanctity, but it was more popular. The Koreh Kishu Yoshev, and he would sit and he would read it while he was sitting. Vin Karam Umar HaRezim, but he sat it standing up, out of respect for the Torah, that was which is in the Tanakh, so reads the beginning of Sefer Dvarim through a Hefer to a Tanakh, and the Dalek of Vayam Shomei reads through Vayam Shemoa, which is the Ekev, and Gomer Ota, Pam Shari finishes up the Torah, and the Dalek of Aser to Aser, the Kori Masim, the Aser to Aser, Aser to Seder, and so Brachor, the Kori, reads the curse. He's jumping around Sefer Dvarim, and Mulvan HaBrit HaShekharat HaItam Dachoreg HuPosek in Islam. So he reads the Fetzolah. V'noheged mitzvah zo b'zman sh'Yisrael b'Tan. But then you read it when B'nai Israel done. That's one of the mitzvah that we have. Okay. Now, what we read is essentially Hakel, which was the paradigm for the mitzvah of Kriyat HaTorah, but it was written once every 7 years. Now comes a Gemara in Yerushalmi, which we discussed. Source 3. Moshe Yitkin et Yisrael. Moshe said, okay, now, this is very interesting. This is a takana of Moshe. It's only within it. Even though Moshe did it someday. But since he was doing it on his own initiative and not God's initiative, it's only within it. So Moshe will set up a takana. Shiyu koreim the Torah b'Shabbatot v'Yomim Tovim u'b'Rani Parashei Chodeshim u'b'Chol HaShemayim. Moshe said the mitzvah that the Jews should read from the Sefer Torah on special occasions, on the festive occasions, on the Shabbos, on the Yom Tov, on Rosh Chodesh, on the Chol HaMoed. Shenemar ve'daber Moshe modei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. God, Moshe spoke to the Bnei Yisrael the holiday. Right afterwards, it says all the holidays spoke. So Chazal learned, no, this is telling you that Moshe did a takana. Moshe did a takana. They should read the Torah. Okay. And along Ezra Sofer, beginning by Sheni. Ezra Kenisa, she called Badora Besheni, Uba Hamishi, Uba Shabbat Mincha. He set up that not only did the read of Shabbatot and Chagim and this, but also, especially on days and Musafim, he set up they would read every week. They would read what? On Monday and Thursday, which were the Shuk days, which were the days when even the outlying areas came into the city to buy and to sell, people around. And then they came to the big city, the local big city, they would have a minyan, they would be from a sefer Torah, and they would also read it on Shabbos Mincha. And Shabbos Mincha time. Not only Shabbos during the day, but also Shabbos Mincha time. Now you say, why do you read Shabbos Mincha time? That's just that Shabbos during the day. Shabbos during the day, you read this week's parsha. Shabbos Mincha time, you read next week's parsha, which you're going to read on Monday and Thursday. Well, as well, if you read it on Monday and Thursday, why do you read it on Shabbos too? So let's cut off this one. Monday and Thursday was set up so the Jews wouldn't go 3 days apart. It's 3 days of bad color. Every 3 days approximately you'll learn about it. Minimum. Institutionalized color. This is a first one playing that the purpose, it's clear, the purpose of this, the Torah, is not celebrating in the sense of celebrating, which is what you might have thought of as only on Chagim, right? So when the Chagim you say, read from the Torah of the Prophet, but not the celebration. No. You do it not only on Shabbos, but you also do it in the whole week. Because you don't want to go 3 years long. It's hard to come to Torah. But there were Jews who couldn't make it on Monday and Thursday. Because Monday and Thursday, for the same reason why you set up Monday and Thursday was their busiest day. And they couldn't make it to Shul because they were busy selling or buying. Right? So they couldn't make it to Shul. So for these people, they set up for Shabbos on Shabbos afternoon that they would get a sort of a foreshadowing of what's going on with us. Very good. It also seems, and we'll see this reiterated a little bit more, that Moshe, when he set up his requirement to read, his idea was, somebody would get up and read the Torah. You read Shabbos, you read Yontif, you read. Somebody get up and read from the Torah. Along came Ezra. And Ezra said, no, we're going to have a weekday, we're going to have three aliyot, weekday and Shabbat Chamonim, we're going to have three aliyot, and when it's Rosh Chodesh, we're going to have four aliyot, and it's Yom Kippur, five aliyot, and Yom Kippur, six aliyot, and Shabbat seven. That Ezra set up that. But the Takamat Moshe to read was one aliyot. Came on Ezra, and he institutionalized the reading of. Let's now learn a little bit more. Source number four. Tanakh. Gemara Megillah says it follows. Hapoteach mevarech lefadeh.
Just move past this guy. I'm sure you're acquainted with it. Anybody have? Okay. Look, open up to Piyata Tama, which is on page. Well, 275. Shabbos. Remember, mine has 256. I don't know. I should not start right. What? What do you have? You have 275?
Okay.
Wonderful. Whatever goes for you. Whatever works for you, okay? So let's look at the brachot. The brachot has seven parts to it, okay? In contradistinction to the brachot limud haTorah, which we saw, which has two brachot before, or three brachot before, we talked about that. The brachot, it does have a bracha afterwards, right? Because as I told you, learning period never ends. Clean the period begins now. I mean, you never finish learning. So there's no bracha to end. Aliyahs do have a bracha at the end because you finish your aliyah. You do the mitzvah and you finish it. That's, so it starts off with Baruch Et Hashem Borach, and people answer Baruch Hashem Borach Lomed. Then he says Baruch Hashem Lomed. Now that's an introduction, gives praise to Hashem. Then we have two brachot. One bracha before the aliyah, which is Baruch Hashem Lomed Asher Bocha Baba Mikol Amin. Now that's bracha we know. Because that's the same bracha you make over, everybody makes every day for learning Torah. Right? That's one of the brachot you make for learning Torah. And notice it doesn't say Asher Kitshanu, it doesn't have any of that stuff in it. And what's the bracha afterwards? Baruch Ato Hashem Elohim Asher Natan Manu Torah afterwards. The Chaye Olam Natav Tochenu. Right? That God gave us the Torah and He implanted eternal life within us, from the Hashem, Notena Torah. If I were to ask you, these brachot redundant, you look at the text of the two brachot, right? One says, Asher Bracha Banu, Renato Mano. God picked us by giving us the Torah. Right? The second bracha says, God gave us the Torah, and therefore gave us eternal life, because we have a mechanism of eternal life. We're sitting on learning Torah. What's the essence of brachot? Brachot? The giving of the Torah. Right? Does everybody agree? So that's what the brachot, the brachot essentially say the same thing. In fact, the end, notate the Torah, they end the same way. They are very similar brachot. Very similar brachot. In any case, those are the two brachot before. Now, we have, what is our custom? Every person who gets an aliyah goes up, makes the baruch hu, first bracha reads, second bracha. Every person. Not only that, if a kohen, if there's no levi in the audience, and a kohen got the first aliyah, and he says, kol ha'bim kol levi, what does he do? Says the same bracha over again. Which is, anybody has a sense for a bracha, that's really absurd. I just made the bracha again. Right. Could you do that with bracha, learning bracha in the morning? I mean, I've made bracha in a shakar, and then I want to say, you can't do so. I just did that bracha. Right? So, you know, and if I should get an aliyah in this shul and go to another shul and get another aliyah, and make the bracha again, yeah, I can make this bracha 10, 15 times a day. And even if I know now that I'm going to get the aliyah, so there's no S of that. I know I'm going to get the aliyah. In another 3 minutes, I know I'm going to get it. Because I'm going to go out this door to the next shul next door, I'm going to get an aliyah. I'm the only Kohen for miles around. I make the problem again and again and again and again. All right. Let's sort of live with that question for a while, and let's push on. Let's read. Look at source number four. Tana, we learned Hapoteach Mevarech Lefoteach. He who opens the reading, which is the first one to get into the air, he makes the first bracha before. And the last one, to get the last aliyah, he makes the last one. That's a system that makes sense. Right? That is the first person of the, say, of the seven, or the three, or the four, whatever we're reading. He's
motzi everybody afterwards, right?
Of the first bracha.
And who's motzi? The last one is motzi everybody afterwards. Okay. So that seems that was the original minhag. The original minhag was the first one made the first bracha, and the last one made the last bracha, and everybody's yotzi with the two brachot. But now, says the Gemara, the kulu mevoche lefaner the akara. Only by the time of the Gemara, right, 250 years later, they already had a different custom. Their custom was like our custom that every person makes his own brachot. Hainu tamu d'takin rabbi. But this is the reason why the rabbis instituted. Gzeira mishum ha-nechnasin u-mishum ha-yotzin. A gzeira, a takana, they changed the format of the brachot because of those who come in and because of those who go out. So let's see how Rashi brings those who come in and those who go out. Rashi. Mishum ha-nechnasin. שאם ייכנס אדם לבית הכנסת אחרי שברך משם, בסדר שקם את השיעור after the first one's made of ברכה, ואם לא ישמע את האחרים בתוך אלה, if he doesn't hear anybody else make the first ברכה, יאמר, אין ברכה, בתור המחנה. He might think that Torah doesn't require, learning Torah doesn't require ברכה before him, because he comes in and shaming, he doesn't know that he never hears the ברכה. ומשום היוצא, and because those who ולא שמעו את החותן בברך לך. They walk out of the shul. והראשונים לא ברכו. Right? And the first one who came in, he was there from the very beginning, he heard the first one make a first bracha, but he walks out, he doesn't hear any final bracha. Yom Vayos, and those who leave early will say, Ein bracha betor lakho, there's no bracha made afterwards. You don't seem to be very happy with this question. What?
I mean, it's like someone comes to Shulay from the Shabbat, they might think that they have done. I mean, if you leave show early, so they might think that you don't have done.
I mean, it still makes sense. Or they come out and they go out and see how we are. They don't hear anything. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's parallel to any other thing that we do. I mean, right. I understand. I sympathize with that position. That's why the Navy didn't learn Shabbat. Because Rashi says, why is this different? So you say you walk into shul late, and we have to be worried about everybody who's making a mistake because it doesn't keep it right. In general, this is not exactly extreme. The Gemara says, we always worry about the shul. We said, of course, but based on what people will do things normatively, I have to worry about everybody who's not going to come in and do a problem. And what's so bad if they should even think that the bracha, that there's no bracha believer? So they don't know that this is a bracha. So what? I must admit that I've always had a very rough time with Rashi, and I don't understand Pshat too well. I'm sure there's someone who gives a good Pshat, but it's not true. But the Meiri doesn't like Rashi's Pshat for the very reason that Shlomi says. And let's see what he says in the source number 6. Mishum ha-nechnasim, she'yikansum ben rishon v'sheni, because he'll walk in. Or she'll walk in between Rishon and Sheni. The Shema kid that they hear the reading of the Torah, then said Shmiyatam Shalom the Bracha. That they only have heard Kriyas the Torah without having heard a Torah Bracha.
Well, I would explore that. It's still
here. Yes, it will. This is that Shema. So you try to solve it. You can't solve it every millisecond. So you sound it every aliyah. That's what he says. Hold on, let's read the same. U'mishum ha-yotzin, she-yatzu kodem she-yikra achron, that they'll go out before the last one reads, the ancient bracha there. And then they'll have heard Kriyas HaTorah without a final bracha. Val smach ze nagu b'tzofat, levarech b'kodem noni, v'ashmiya l'chol et ha-bachot. And that's why the custom was in Tzofat, to make the bracha not quietly, but when one gets his aliyah, he has to make the bracha out loud, so that the people will be able to hear the bracha.
Let me explain to you. There is a very fundamental difference between Rashi's pshat, whether you like it or not, and Meiri's pshat, which also is promising. According to Rashi, when you come in, when the person comes in and makes a bracha, and the person gets aliyah, gets kohen, who is he making that bracha for? If he's making a bracha for the cow, then he should be careful. That's what Meiri says. It would seem that Rashi is maintains the person who makes the bracha for himself. Makes the bracha for himself. Okay, let's follow the analysis. I admit there are other options of interpretation. Rashi seems to learn that you make the bracha for yourself. Every person who goes up makes the bracha. And what about the second person? He doesn't make the bracha. Well, he has to listen. He's being yotzei with the first person. If every person is being yotzei with the first person, in order to repeat seven bracha, the first person makes the first bracha, the last person makes the last bracha. Right? And they're all motzi each other, but they're not motzi the kol. The bracha is not motzi the kol. If that's the analysis, do the people have to say the bracha out loud? The answer is no. They just have to make sure that the other six people hear the bracha. The first one, maybe the first one should make it out loud. Or under the system where everybody makes his own bracha, right? Would they may have to say it out loud? No. You should do it for yourself. You don't have to be motzi anybody else. You do it for yourself. It's my bracha, my aliyah, I make my own bracha. According to the system, our system, which is everybody makes his own bracha. You don't have to say the bracha, I'm doing it for myself. I make a mezonos, say it out loud. Just say it out loud.
You're not
making kohen
for yourself.
What?
You're not just making a kohen for yourself.
That's correct. Well, that's a good question. That's a very good question. This is part of the analysis. Well, this is the first time that I'm actually raising the question. But you'll have to let me raise it my way. Okay? Because there are a lot of questions that have to be asked. They can be more tougher questions than this. And this will all, the whole boat will start rocking at the moment.
So, from what I understood when you said before, you never say a boat stop.
Well, you're asking a fundamental question. You're saying, listen, Arya, this can't be simple Limud HaTorah. Does it have a simple Limud HaTorah? What do I need brachos at all for? Because I made it to the morning. So this must be a special mitzvah. Well, which has a time frame where I open and I close. Right? Originally I opened with the first and I closed with the seventh. But nowadays, because whatever the reason is, every bracha, every aliyah has its own brachas. But it's limited to that particular mitzvah. There are several people who do this mitzvah. So in the old system, the first one made the first bracha for all seven, and the last one made the last bracha for all seven. Right? But it would, according to the old system, for it would seem that the second one, again, this is another problem that we have to deal with. The second one, suppose he wasn't in shul when the first one made the problem. He walked away. Could he get an aliyah? Because after all, he's in a beef in the Torah without having heard a problem. Right? If you say it's the bracha for the kol is doing this, you might say, no, he doesn't, I don't know, it's not so trivial. This is might be, by the way, part of what's going on here. People coming in, people going out, people going to get aliyahs without brachas, I must say that's how I understand Pshat. The Gemara is that if the bracha, okay? I don't know Pshat even that Rashi or whatever. How I don't know. So let me just finish the nut by however.
And I think it comes to this particular, what's the nature of the brachas? So anyway, Rashi says the brachas for the individual, right? And or the community might not know that you need an ali bracha. Now that bothers me. Meiri says, wait a second, no, this is a kriyas for the kol. The kol is hearing kriyas of Torah. The first one to read makes the bracha because he's de facto doing it. Like the person who reads Megillah for the kol, he makes the brachas because he's reading it. It is the analysis of the Meiri. Kriyas of Torah is like Megillah, right? It's a community mitzvah. One of us gets up and reads the Torah for us all. He makes the brachas. And just like the Mikra Megillah, you make the bracha at the beginning, you read the Megillah, you make it at the end, you do. Whether it's divided among seven people, big deals of seven people. The first one makes the first bracha. Everybody along the way reads part of the Megillah. And we could do it this way too, sure. Right? We don't need one person to read the Megillah. You can have five or six writers do it all the time. Right? You can have different people along the way reading the Megillah. And the women's Megillah, and they do it all the time. The only difference is that in Kriya Sotel we call it an aliyah, right? And you get called up, and it's institutionalized that there have to be seven people or three people, depending, who get called up. Mikra Megillah. And you make a big deal about it, and there's stops and everything, and then the Torah reading. Somehow the Torah reading, we want different people to be called up. But if you think about it, the Miri says it's just like Mikra Megillah. It's fancier. Yes.
Nowadays, when the
Baal Kriya
reads, and not the people are getting
out. No, the Baal Kriya doesn't have to be Amen. He says Amen, so he'll have the right note to stop.
Amen.
That's what he does. In fact, most good Baal Kriya won't do it. Because the problem is they end up saying Amen, not after the bracha, but before they start reading, and that can be a long time. So good, if you heard about Curry last week, I don't know who it was, David Cole. You didn't hear him. He said Amen, but then he couldn't find the place and everything else. So he said Amen one, because I mean, he's kind of a clear at all. Almost all of them are so he said. Amen, because it gets you back into it. Alright, so. The Meiri understands it that way. So now what happened? So Karl Meiri, why do we switch from Mikra Megillah sort of system to everybody gets his own Aliyah system? He says because the conversation to Mikra Megillah, where people stay from beginning to end, is about so in order for them to be Yotze, that Aliyah, we got a bracha before and after. That seems to be what he's saying. So at least if you're coming late, right? If you're coming late, you'll have brachas before that section of the
chain. That makes more sense on the day of the Shulchan
Aruch and Monday
and Thursday,
that
they get
something
more, or
I need
to sell
them
or something, so they
come in for talking to them, but they're not. You don't know how much business is done in Shulchan. Shana, Shana, you know what family's done. And Shana's connect, by the way. So, I mean, there's a lot of business that's done, so it's tremendous. Anyway, for whatever the reason is, the feeling was that people going in, people going out, that there should be brachas around the Kriyas Torah. All right, so Chazal instituted brachas before and after. So now we have brachas before. I just want to bring something quickly to your attention. It doesn't exactly say here, but hopefully it should be clear to you. And Tosfos will say over there and explicitly. But each person, under the good old days, until about the Gaonic period, which is around the year 1000, but through the Mishnah, through the Gemara, you got an Aliyah, you read. It's like the old Taimani system. They go to the Taimani shul, the person gets the Aliyah, reads his Aliyah.
know about Kabbalah. You know, anybody, you read, get up, you read. The Baal Korei institution came much later, and it came for two reasons. It came because there are a lot of people who didn't know how to write. They were illiterate, tremendous illiteracy. And therefore, they would get people to read, to professional readers. So you get up. You made your brachot and you have a reader read. And eventually at the point that it was embarrassing. There were some people who knew how to read and some people who didn't know how to read. So it's not to embarrass anybody, everybody. Okay? The Rush gives a slightly different reason. That's what Tosis says. The Rush says that there were people who got up to read and didn't know how to read. And you couldn't tell them, don't read because you really don't know how to read. Right? So instead of telling them to sit down, you just pick somebody who's a good reader and get them to read. But that institution of the Baal Korei came much later. And that's so the one who we're actually hearing the Kriya from is not the person getting on here. Originally, the first person, every person who got a lead read for the community, like the Mikra Megillah. Right, he read for himself and for the community. Right? Nowadays we have a Baal Korei. The Baal Korei doesn't make the prophets. He's not necessarily reading for himself. He may have read for the Torah in the first minyan. And he comes back to read a second time. He's not being focused on himself, but he is reading for the community. Okay. And we have to talk about that too. That's the mechanism of that. Alright, let's now move on to source 7. Source 7 deals with the question of Kriyas HaTorah verse 7. In the Gemara Megillah, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows. Katan korei betorah u'metagen. A katan is allowed to read from the Torah. Which means what? Don't think Baal Korei. Baal Korei doesn't exist. If it says a katan can read from the Torah, what does it mean? He can get an aliyah. Right. He can get an aliyah. You said he can make a bracha. But it doesn't say that. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm saying that it's a leap that is not necessarily justified by the material. You'd say, well, why not? And if I can get an aliyah? Because the answer is, it could be the second verse. And I'll ask yourself, well, why shouldn't he be able to make the bracha? Because he's not obligated. So the man said, if he's not obligated, then how can he read? You can't have everything, right? We're in a bind here. On the one hand, the Mishnah says, but you'll see, the Mishnah will play. We'll play with everything you said. We'll play with it, but it's not true. The first question is, a katan is reading from the Torah. How can he's a katan? He's not high with this, the Torah. How can you read from the Sefer Torah for the community? Okay. Katan Korah v'Torah u'metargem. Metargem was a community position as the Turgaman. They would translate it from Hebrew into Aramaic. Plus, they would translate. He could do the job of the Turgaman. Even though it's more of a community position, you might think that you can't appoint a minor for such a position. Yeah, for that position, you can get it. I'm an Poles on a Shema. But he cannot be Kores HaShema, which is, it's a big machlok of what Kores HaShema means, but it means saying Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, saying parts of Kriya Shema, Ve'en Oban of Fnei Ateva, and he cannot be a Shema, he cannot do Chazorat HaShas. Okay, you can't do that. Says Rashi, Katan Eno Kores HaShema. Why can't he do Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu and read Shema for the community? The Fishu Bada Tzirabi Mugat Pabatan. Because in this job of being Pores Shema, being the Shaliyah Tzibur, and reading Shemoneh Esrei, his proper function is what? Lahot Tzirabi Mugat Pabatan. To fulfill and help those who don't know how to read, to fulfill their obligation. The Kivan Shein HaMechuyat Badavar, since he's not obligated,
Ain't no motziya kemi deko, but then you cannot help others fulfill their obligation. That's an old cloud, old principle we learned. Yeah, in order to be motzi somebody else, you have to be chayav. You want to accept upon yourself, gave as a favor for yourself only. You can't be motzi somebody else, only yourself. Now this now creates for the first time a discrimination, a line. It's not so much discrimination in the negative sense. It's we're discriminating, we're dividing now something special about Kriyas Torah that I allow a minor who's not obligated to read, get an aliyah to the Torah, which I clearly, in the same breath, in the same mitzvah, I don't let him do Chazaras HaShatz. Because he's not obligated. But the Torah, I do. Source number one. Source number two, eight, yes.
When you say that you let him,
that you
mean that
you're
saying that he is
cut off? It's a possibility. But it's at that point it's an unlikely possibility, since minors are not obligated to do anything except for chinuch. The question is, chinuch is, there is a rabbinic obligation. There is a certain sort of rabbinic obligation. What?
It
might be obligated, rabbinically
obligated.
The other side of that would be that nobody's obligated because we're not doing it. So, yeah, but okay, so all right, if you say he's not obligated, then essentially he's not obligated. Let me put it this way. When a kid is above 9 years old, to start performing the mitzvah. Some mitzvah as soon as he becomes aware, some mitzvah more, you know, like, fasting, and there are all sorts of rules about when certain different things begin. Okay, a kid who is old enough, let's say 9 years old, is clearly the age of kino, becomes obligated in davening, and becomes obligated rabbinically, because you have to educate the child how to do it. Okay? There's a lot of discussion, is he obligated or is papa to educate? And the answer seems, you look at the Rishonim, and we'll get into this, because it's not trivial. It seems that there was an inherent obligation on him to do it, to be trained, to learn how to do it. To be involved in this field. And there is some sort of rabbinic level obligation. So there is some obligation. The question is, how does it relate to an adult's obligation? Who may be biblical or may even be rabbinic. Let's say Mikra Megillah. Can a minor read the Megillah for a major? Both are rabbinic. A father has a rabbinical obligation, set up as an Esther time, right? And the child has a rabbinic obligation, as children have more rabbinic obligation. Now this gets very complicated, because if you think about it, the child has double rabbinical obligation, or trade rabbinical, right? Because the obligation in and of itself is rabbinic. The father is rabbinic. And then it's a second of that. Then I have to make him obligated rabbinically in a rabbinic obligation. His father and his mother are obligated to Mikra Megillah, one rabbinic. But he's now doubly rabbinic. He's a minor and a rabbinic. So it's a doubly rabbinic obligation. It's further off. Okay, now there are ways of playing so that the father is biblical and comes down. Let's hold on. It gets complicated. It's not trivial what you're asking me. Is the child obligated? Does the fact that the child gets an aliyah, does that show reflect any obligation? Let's see this. Let's read source number. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbi's book. Hakol Olin Leminyan Shiva. All can get an aliyah. Vafilu Katan, Vafilu Isha. Even a child and even a woman. Aval Amru Chachamim, but the rabbi said, Isha lo tikkavu. A woman should not read from the Torah, the main Kavod HaTzibur, because of Kavod HaTzibur. Because of the honor of the community. Okay? Let's finish up. There are a lot of questions. Let me just read up two more sources, and then we'll come back and start
9. A Tosefta. Tosefta is Mishneh, is Tanaitic literature written a little bit after the Mishneh time. Hakol Olin Laminyan Shiva. All count for the Shiva, the seven aliyah. Afilu Isha, Afilu Katan. Even a woman, even a minor. Ein Mevin et Isha Likot LaRabim. But one does not bring a woman to read for the community. You don't bring a woman to read for the community. LaRabim. Source number 10, which is the Shulchan Aruch, the Yom Zechar. Hakol Olin Laminyan Shiva. All count for the count of seven. Afilu Isha, the Katan, even a woman, even a minor. He's old enough to understand who we're making bracha. He understands who God is. He understands the import of the bracha he's making. That could be at seven. It doesn't have to be nine. It could be a younger age. As long as there's enough intellect to understand when you say bracha to Hashem, he knows what you're talking about. Aval amru chachamim, but the rabbis said, isha lo tikra b'sefer, a woman should not read in the community, mipnei kavod tzibur, because the honor of the community. Hagah, says the most official mission, ve'elu dafka mitzdafim l'minyan ha'kru'im, they only join in with the number of the seven, the number that you read. Aval lo shiu kulam nashim otim, but not that all seven should be women or minors. Okay, those are the sources from the Shulchan, from the Gemara, Mishnah, Zashi, down to the Shulchan. All right, yes. It says, Hakol Olin Laminyan Shiva. That's the first one. It says, Hakol Olin Laminyan Shiva. Okay? So the question is, what about all seven? So we already saw probably not all seven, but it's not clear. Okay, what about a yantif, where there aren't seven specifically? Why did he pick Sheva? Does it mean only a Shabbos? Is it possible that women can't count it for the yantif? Right? And what about a Hosafa? You know, on Shabbos we have a Hosafa. So you say, only you mean Sheva, but what about a Hosafa? You know, what about 9, 10, 12, which is in years of term, right? Okay, if each person, right, got it read in the original, in the Gemara time, each person who got called up read their own aliyah. Right? Question. How did the Gemara consider, theoretically, that a woman could get an aliyah? Problem one, Kodisha Erba. Right? Whether you hold Kobe shows an absolute confirmative concept in the Gemara's time, the problem was still applicable, right? They weren't used to hearing women singing. How did a woman get called up? Well, that's one possibility. One possibility that she spoke it, not like. Right? Nobody of any of the Rishonim said that she shouldn't get an aliyah. And what did the Gemara say? The Gemara says, we shouldn't cover that secret for the argument. The Gemara meant because when she was going to sing it, the Gemara should have said, well, sure. The Gemara knows how to say that. And the Gemara doesn't say that. So for some reason, Kobi Sheher seems to be a non-issue. Second of all, what do you do with a mechitza? Right? So assuming there's a mechitza in shul, so how did she get an aliyah? Assuming, right? Well, so you said, Mama, so we'll take the scimitar, pass it on the sheets of the show, read it from her side. Big deal. That's a possibility. But it's a possibility. The other possibility is that she'll come over the mechitzah to the other side, which is a much more likely possibility. Nobody's all shook up on that. Right? Well, there are kind of chances, but it doesn't seem to be a major issue. So you're saying you're already anticipating, but essentially that the proof to that is this Gemara. Because what is she saying? She said, well, we discussed Kaddish. I mentioned that for one woman, you don't need a mechitza. One or two women, you don't need a mechitza. That would be a service. Either you had two women getting aliyahs back to back, the most you have is two women. Right? So you don't need a mechitza for one or two women. And you're right. But this is one of the source texts for that particular discussion. Okay, now. Gemara, what's bothering the Gemara seems to be not obligation. That even though a Kohen and an Isha are not obligated, so if they're not obligated, question number one is, what about the brachot? How do they make the brachot? I mean, you're not obligated. How do you make brachot that you're not obligated in? Second of all, if she's not obligated, how does she read it? How does she read the community? Chris said there was a communal obligation. How does she be mostly the community? There are men there who have to hear Chris tell her. There are other Chris tell her. She's not. How does she read Chris tell her?
Are men obligated to hear Chris tell her?
What? We'll have to jockey with that a little bit. We'll have to talk about that a little bit. But clearly, the Moshe finds, I would say the party line is that, yeah, you are obligated to get this. I will admit you, just as a side, there are those who say that Kriya Sitara has, there's a communal obligation that community read Kriya Sitara, but you don't have a personal obligation to hear it. That's sort of a problem. You can play with that, you can dance with that a little bit. But that's not the party line. The party line is, you have to sit there and listen.
When you say a feeling,
you
have a situation.
Yes. What you're essentially saying, let me come back to that. I'll come back to that in 1 second. What? No, what you're essentially saying is, Gemara says, but let me ask the question again more formally. When Nora says, I will amru chachami, that chazal, a woman really can get an aliyah. The chazal came along and said, the chachami said, isha lo tikra b'tzibur, a woman should read the tzibur because of kavod tzibur. Now, what is that? What?
Isha lo tikra b'tzibur.
It's isha lo tikra b'tzibur. Right, okay. Well, you need a minyan to read from the Torah. Okay, I don't know if that makes a difference here. Okay? Now, my father would always say, not every chiluk is b'chalim. No. Not every distinction makes a difference. So, but let's say, isha lo tikra b'torah, that make kavodot because the honor of the tzibur. So let's ask the question, first of all, what's kavodot?
We don't have an inkling.
Because we don't know what's bothering the kavodot. We don't have an inkling of kavodot. Fortunately, Kavod Tzibur is mentioned several times in Shas. Unfortunately, it means different things in different ways. So the question is, somehow we're going to have to sort of get a handle on what Kavod Tzibur is in each particular case. Okay, so we have to understand Kavod Tzibur. Second of all, Kavod Tzibur, your Kavod ain't my Kavod. I mean, what I mean to say is, there are things that you might be mocked in and I won't be mocked in. Can a community, can I be mocked in? If it's, whose covet is this? Whose covet is this? Say the covet of the tzibur. Whose covet is this? If it's the tzibur's covet, then maybe the tzibur can be mocked. We can say, very nice of you to worry about. Glory and honor. It's not important. Not important. You know, they made it important. 2,000 years ago, it's not important. Well, you might say, it's important, but there are things that are more important. It's a different word. Right? Come on, we're willing to be mocha. We agree. Is the precedent for such a thing? Can a tzibur be mochel on its kavod? What are the rules of being mochel? Okay? And second of all, isha lo tikra b'tzibur mebnei kavod tzibur. Is that l'chatchila or is that the b'ye? Suppose a community called up a woman to read for you, your 50 years ago. A chazal said it's usher, a chazal said it's don't do it. If you have a choice, don't do it. But suppose I don't have a choice. For instance, I'm in a community where there's nobody else who knows how to read. You don't have your answer. The only one who knows the reason the Torah is this woman. Don't talk to me about the Torah. Without her, there's no reason to do it. Nobody else has ever.
a pass of three psukim. So one pass, she'll read it through three psukim. Come on, I got another 87 to go. Right? I can't do that. Could she be the balat kriya for the other six aliyah? Now notice what I've done. I've switched horses. Until now, I said, okay, she'll get an aliyah for she'll read for every aliyah she gets. Now I'm saying, no, the other guy, they'll all get aliyahs, but she'll be the balat kriya now for the other people. Another question is, suppose the only shul in town is a conservative shul, right? This is a shul I had, halacha b'maaseh. And the only shul, can a person, he or she, go to shul and hear the kriya, it's a conservative shul, where he knows, or she knows, that the person they're reading, they're getting aliyah, they're going to be getting aliyah. Does that impinge upon the validity of the tefillah? Essentially, I'm asking in 10 different ways, when Chazal said a woman can't get aliyah because of covenant sefer, what is that all about? Easter is it? Konam is, does it count? Woman can't get aliyah, someone doesn't count? Or is it just sort of like a lachat chila? Now, if you say, they said no, well, if they said no, how come the Shulchan Aruch still talks about it? Why? It should bother you. The Shulchan Aruch says, why is it of concern? If it's impossible for a woman to get aliyah, why is it of relevance to the Shulchan Aruch? Written in the 1500s. We're talking about 1,200 years after the Gemara, to still talk about the fact that women can get aliyahs. Why is that relevant? What? It's not so true. It's not so true. The book, a rule does not stay in the books for 1,200 years because it's totally, wrong. It must be at least theoretically correct. And I hope to demonstrate you that it is. Okay? And maybe more. Okay? But, in order to understand it, how to learn. That's it. Okay. I think we better stop here. Yes, if you have any further
questions. Is there any significance that you don't
mention? What did they mention?
Evan.
You're asking a very good point. Generally speaking, if a woman can't get an aliyah, then an Evan can't. Okay? This is not a tzniyus concept. I hope it's clear to you. This is not a tzniyus concept. Kabbalat Tzibur does not seem to be a tzniyus concept. Indeed, well, there's no lima. Okay, that's another question. The fact that she can get aliyah, does that have any relevance to she can't
find lima? Well, that's the same question as with the
Kahan. What?
That's the same question.
No, because Kahanim don't make minyan. Women do. There's never a case where a Kahan makes minyan. Women do. If they're related to the field, they make me. Okay. The general consensus is not, and that's really the next thing that we're going to talk about, which deals with women's chiyuv in Kriyas HaTorah. Right? But it,